Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We are recording at the New York State High School Football Coaches Association Football Clinic at Turning Stone Resort here in New York. And joining me on the podcast is the head football coach at Chenango Forks. He is a four-time state champion as a head coach, two-time as an assistant. And we're going to talk today about some unique things they do. But Coach Dave Hogan, great to have you here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Coach, you spent some time on your topic being on practice, and you know, we're going to get into those things. But before we do that, I guess let our listeners know a little bit about just your background and really, you know, the journey you've taken, maybe the important things you've learned along the way that have brought you to the point here as the head football coach at Chenango Forks.
Well, just real briefly, I was brought up, my father was a coach, so I spent a lot of time on the sidelines as a ball boy and stuff growing up, and just played throughout, a couple years at college, and then I was fortunate enough to get hired at Chenango Forks, worked with a great group of coaches there, learned a lot from them as an assistant for the first 12 years of my coaching career at Chenango Forks, and the last 12 years, been the head coach there, and we've built quite a thing there. We have got a great community support there. We have great coaches, and most of all, we have kids that buy into what we do there, and they just work very, very hard, and we're just blessed to have them too.
Coach, you mentioned to me before we got started that you kind of started to do things a little bit differently. You know, you could go around the country and there's a lot of practice templates that look exactly the same. Maybe you plug in a different type of offense or defense, and so there's a little different drills, but everybody's doing the individual group segments inside run 7-on-17, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Special teams sprinkled in there, but you've really put, as you told me, the focus on skill, not just in individual periods, but in how you practice as a team as well. Talk to us about just that concept, and I guess, how have you evolved to that?
Well, 10, 15 years ago, we did, it just seemed like we were doing a lot of team time, and that was like the template, like you had talked about. I think we've kind of gotten away from that at least the last 4 or 5 years, even more so, with taking, you know, a little less team time and getting into skills and drills work. We do individual work a little bit there, and then we get in smaller groups. And particularly tackling, we've taken it to a new level there. We have lots of different, primarily tracking drills. You know, we talk about, you know, tackling drills are useless unless we can get to the guy. So we spend a lot of time with that. We put the kids in a lot of different places, and you just try to track. We do 2-on-1 tackling. We do 3-on-2 tackling. We do 1-on-1 tackling straight up, inside out box. You know, lots of different things. And as I watch some more things here at the clinic, yeah, we got a couple more we can't wait to try. So I think that's pretty unique in that we're doing more and more of that and a little less of the team time.
So, you know, typically outside of the tackling, what's the individual period for you? How long are you working individual in a practice?
Usually no more than 14 minutes would be the max, depending on what we're doing. When we do tackling station, we do like 19 minutes. And I guess that's the other thing. We used to have like 10-minute segments and 15-minute segments, 5-minute drinks. And now we've made it even, you know, pretty more precise there. You know, we've got 9-minute segments and 6-minute segments. But for tackling, it's typically 9 minutes. It depends on what it is. Sometimes we get to two different tackling techniques. And then, you know, other times it might just be one, depending on what we're doing.
Yeah.
With, you know, like, we like to do inside run game versus, you know, maybe take the tight ends out of there and we just go in between the tackles. Lots of teams do this, but we kind of committed to that. We do that a whole lot more than we ever used to, and we've got a whole lot out of that. We do half-line stuff, half-line technique. We do, just things like that, breaking it down, and I think that it really has helped us quite a bit.
You hear a lot of coaches talk about, wisely, looking at the amount of contact involved in practice. And so we've talked about, you know, some different periods there, inside run, half line, tackling, which obviously can be a ton of contact. What do you guys look to do in terms of how much contact is there going to be within these different periods?
I mean, if you watched our practices, we don't have any contact pretty much. I mean, I shouldn't say that we have contact because we block at the line and stuff like that. But in terms of tackling and stuff, we never take anybody down on the ground. It might be a thud. A lot of times when we do tackling, we're not that far away if we're going to do a thud.
Right.
If we're further away and we're tracking, we really don't even make any contact. It's just more you just get there, you want to get in that position, and it's nothing more than touching them then.
Yeah.
So that you know, because we're trying to make our sport safer, but it's also helped us a lot with technique, just doing it that way.
Yeah, and so as you mentioned, a little bit about, I guess, the setup of some of the tackling you do. You know, when you think about football and a football play, you know, we draw it up a certain way, and usually you'll get at least partway through how those lines look, sometimes all the way through. But we never draw everything after that, right? We don't draw all the different angles or the guys who get in the way. So is there a lot of variability within your drills that you mentioned, putting these guys in different positions? Because I can remember back to when I coached high school football, there was a limited set of drills, and we, you know, unwisely were always coming at it from the same angles, and we weren't varying where these guys would start or the areas they were in, et cetera.
Yeah. You're bringing up a good point there. You know, we steal all these things from other places and stuff, but then we do kind of tweak them and make them our own. I mean, what are we having trouble with? I guess, for instance, we have somebody do a toss sweep and the runner is like an average speed runner. We can have a nice, we can have an angle track that inside hip and it's not a problem. We cut down the distance and we finish them. With somebody that's much faster, if we're not used to tracking that kid as much faster, our angle, it can't be the same. And some kids don't understand that unless we practice it over and over again. It's going to have to be a flatter angle. So we put them in that kind of situation. We'll also have a lead blocker. It might be a lead blocker that's already engaged with them. We might have another lead blocker that comes out and arc blocks. So we can kind of make it an offensive and a defensive drill. And, so you're trying to defeat the block before you get, to get to the ball carrier. But, these are all kind of things that we, kind of progress to, and we become a much better tackling team as a result.
Do you look at this as you're going from week to week during the season? You know, it's easy to pull out a practice plan and start filling in, we're doing this drill. Do you guys really look at the why behind it and relate it back to either this is what we need to get better at and what we saw from the last game, also then thinking ahead too? This is what this team does a lot. Let's work the drill this way this particular week.
Do all the stuff in preseason and then all of a sudden the games start. And really, what we really, I think, is another thing that helps us, we go and we watch the film and then we write down what we need help on. And then based on the stuff that we need help on in that, for that particular game, we might, for instance, we did a lot more combo blocking this year because we felt we figured out that we have the people that can do that better than, more so than in the past. And we did a lot of different, we started looking up, different combo drills and stuff. And going on to the next level, you go to combo and your man pinched up, do you continue chasing him? No, you go to the next level, you stay on these grids. We did some grid work and stuff like that. So all these kinds of things, and we just kept expanding on them, and the coaching staff really worked hard at that, and the kids bought into it. And
right.
Before you know it, things are working out pretty well for us.
Yeah, that is obviously something that just can't fall on the head coach. And thinking about how you guys have evolved like this, how do you guys set that up so that you can be organized and look at the film and start to prescribe those drills, right? Be prescriptive in those drills as you're looking at it from position, and then, as you mentioned, being together, the whole team, and saying this is what we need to work as a team as well.
You really need to make time away from practice. First of all, the four head coaches are the four varsity coaches. We get along very, very well. We meet during the day, even if we have planning periods together. Even in the evening, we'll talk after practice. We'll even call each other. We might send each other clips or whatever. I think it's really, really important to be able to get along with the people you're coaching with, and you got to be on the same page and understand that we actually spend way more time away from the kids planning and preparing as a staff,
yeah,
than we do actually the couple,
yeah,
hours that we're with them during. So it's a lot of extra time, but it's all worth it in the end. So we're the more we do that, the better prepared that we're going to be on Friday night.
Yeah, I remember a long time ago back when I first got into coaching, hearing John Wooden on an interview talking about how he spent more time planning the practice than they actually practiced, right? And I mean, you can't argue with the success there with
no
that
doubt.
Particular guy. And he mentioned it, though, like, you know, he didn't necessarily worry all the time about what the other opponent was doing. He was a lot focused on what do we need to do. It kind of seems like it's the same philosophy for you guys.
Absolutely. That's he's certainly a role model for us. You know, I've read a few of his books and listened to a lot of, you know, things that he said, and we certainly buy into that. We really talk a lot about controlling the controllables. I mean, I know it's cliche, but we really can't worry about stuff we don't have control over. We have control over getting better, and we talk about mm-hmm. that, you know, every rep, you know, every day, every game. Our goal is to get better. If everybody on the team gets better, our team's going to be that much better. And you know, that's we bought into that, and we don't worry about what the other teams, I mean, of course we got to know because
sure.
we want to be prepared, but yeah, we can't control a lot of times. We can't, I mean, sometimes in the years past we could play the best game we could possibly play, and it's not going to be good enough against a team that's just more skilled and just a better team than we are. So
yeah.
we always just focus on trying to do the very best that we can do at all times.
I know, you know, as I started progressing as a coach, and you know, getting older and learning more about the game, I really started to put a focus on a lot of the details, and my playbook shrank significantly, even though I moved up a level. I mean, looking back to maybe what I was doing in the beginning, and I didn't have that strong understanding of probably the variables. I would understand the basic techniques, and this is what you're supposed to do, but as we mentioned, like, it always doesn't play out that way, and there's going to be different things that happen. So you, as you start to teach the details of it, I think you realize, like, we can get really good at this against anything if we understand how to do it. How has, I guess, you know, looking at this approach that you've taken, how has it affected, I guess, the thickness of the playbooks?
Yeah, it's interesting. We all believe it's not even so much what we run. It's you got to believe in what you run, you know, what you're going to do on defense, what your philosophy is. The more importantly is you got to believe in it. And the four of us, the four of us meaning the coaching staff, we are united at the end of the day. We clearly know what the goal is. We all work hard to get there. And when you got a team, especially this year, this team is highly motivated to learn. They absorb everything that we're trying to teach them. And you put those two things together, and a lot of good things happen. The other thing that I, as you know, more I coach, the more I realize you really got to be able to adapt. Mm-hmm. You got to adjust on the fly. You just do. You can't just keep doing the same things. What worked one year might not work the next year with a new group of kids. I really think you got to constantly evaluate all the time. It's ongoing, you know, not just during the game, but even practices. We're starting to feel more practices and actually watching. That's more time, but I think it's really good use of time. You just got to find the time to be able to do that.
You do, but it was probably one of the best things we did too when we started filming practice somewhere. I don't think. We filmed it a lot in my first head coaching job. It was in the second one where we really got into it, and you know, we wanted to understand the technique better. We wanted to be able to show the kids what was going on, and you know, being able to film. We got the end zone cam and was able to film at a high angle and from behind, and especially for our linemen, it's very valuable. And yes, it took more time, but it's one of those things. I feel like it's a learning curve because your eyes start to get trained to see those things on film too, and you know right away, okay, here's this and this happened, here's what we got to work tomorrow, and here's what I need to show these kids, that it doesn't have to be the whole thing taking up a lot of time. That you do find an efficiency in it if you commit to that process.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And as you were talking, you made me think with some of the stuff you were saying, I think there's a balance too. I mean, I think you could do too much of that.
Sure.
You know, if you're going to film every day, I mean, for us, that's not going to work. You know, maybe once a week.
Yeah.
Because you got to be able to, you know, spend the appropriate amount of time to study it and understand what's working, what's not working,
yeah.
and who needs work where and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you got to have that balance, and you're constantly trying to find that. That's sometimes tough.
It's different when I don't have to, you know, I was an English teacher and I had ninth grade English versus when, you know, I was a college coach and there were no classes to teach, certainly different. But, you know, we would do it every day, but we filmed less, and it was certain periods where we wanted to see those things. So
yeah.
It wasn't necessarily the whole practice. And but yeah, you don't want to overburden it either. You don't want to overthink it. You don't want it to be a grind
right.
for you guys. I mean, it seems like you've talked about your staff several times, and I can tell that there's good camaraderie with you guys, and you know, putting too much of that on yourselves could start to hurt that as well.
Yeah.
And it's important that you guys have that chemistry too. We talk all the time about the team, but you know, that has to start with the coaching staff. The kids are gonna feed off of that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the kids detect that in a heartbeat. If you don't get along well, if you're, you know, if you don't, if you disagree, I mean, of course we've disagreed on things, but the kids a lot of times don't even know that we do, because you know, at the end of the day, we already know this is the plan, this is what we're doing. But yeah, kids pick up on that in a hurry. There's, a lot of times we don't give kids credit for stuff like that, and it's just, it's good. The kids like to see that, you know, in that, you know, of course that, you know, we'll sometimes argue in front of them a little bit, and that's nothing wrong with that either. You know, at the end of the day, we all still get along, and we're all still in this together and stuff. But it's great, because this year's group especially, sense of humor was great. They bust each other's tail in such a great way. Everybody laughed. It was just a lot of fun, and the coaches do it right, you know, get along, you know, do this exact same thing with the kids. They jump in on it and have a good time with that too. But a lot of fun.
As you look now, and you've been at Shenango Forks now, is it 24 years?
Yeah.
24 years, 12 as assistant, 12 as the head coach. And you guys have brought it to a point where there is that success year in and year out, and you're able to sustain that. You know, what are the two or three things you really attribute that to?
Well, that's I think there's just so much. It'd be real hard to get it down to two or three, but I mean, I always say, it's, if you don't have the kids, you don't have much. I don't know if some people understand that. I think coaches understand that, but you know, you just, if you don't have the players, no matter how well of a job you do coaching, you know, you're not going to have undefeated teams. You're not going to have, you know, all division teams and 8-2 teams and stuff like that. I think that's huge. I think the continuity with the coaching staff, like I had mentioned before, and I think just the stability. We have JV coaches, we have modified coaches, who has experience as a head varsity coach. I mean, we have JV coaches that played for us, mm-hmm. you know, years ago, and you know, they're very loyal, and they help us way beyond just the modified. They're not just modified coaches, you know what I'm saying? I don't mean that, you know, to be mean or whatever, but they're modified coaches, but they assist us in a lot of different ways,
yeah.
Not just game days, but lots of other ways, and JV coaches as well. And I think that's real big. They're all into this just as much as we are. We're all in it together, and I think that's huge. But I also think I think the community we live in has helped a lot too. I think the parents overall are very supportive. I think the community is very supportive. The school district is very supportive, and just in general, I mean, even our sports teams. I mean, in general, not just football. We have a lot of success there. It's a great academic school as well.
You mentioned the lower level coaches, and I think when you see programs, you will find that they're not just the consistency, as you mentioned, but the consistency through the program and how you coach and how you're developing things and how you look at it at each level. I guess, what does that look like for Shenango Forks?
Well, I mean, as you're talking, I'm thinking they're all here. I mean, we have, you know, there's 8 of us here. It's great. There's all but like one or two that had other things that they had to do, and they're usually here. So, you know, we're up in the room. We're talking about the different things that we saw. We're comparing notes. We're talking about our upcoming season. We're talking about last year's season. It's just a great, great thing to be a part of. Just so grateful to be a part of it. And, I mean, I think we're talking about this the other day. I think we enjoy coaching more now than we ever have. I mean, you get more out of it, you know, and you're just, it's a lifelong learning thing that we're on, you know, and we just really, really like it. We like the fact that we all feel that we're teaching a whole lot more than just, you know, coaching football. I mean, we're teaching a lot of life, you know, life lessons, and we certainly learn a lot from the kids too, and it's just very exciting. Love it, and I'm sure you feel the same way.
So you mentioned your modified coaches. For you, what is that? What's the modified?
Game days, certainly they help us game days. If they're not filming, they're on the sidelines. We find, and we're trying to do a better job with that too, utilizing everybody, and I think we do a much better job. We have these new titles. I can't even remember the exact titles, like 5 different words or something like that, but like game day special teams, you know, quality control, I think was one and stuff. And we kind of get into it, but actually we had a lot of fun with it to start with, but you know, they're all involved more and more. A lot of it's stat keeping. A lot of it's, you know, if you want to go, if you want to look at something interior on the iPad, then we're going to go to this coach. If you want to look at something, you know, what clip was it at halftime? These things are all marked out for us. They're color-coded. Everything's ready for us at halftime. And I think we're getting better. We got a ways to go with that, but we're getting better and better. But those modified coaches are always involved, and they're a huge part of it, and they know they're a huge part of it. The kids know. Our players know they're a huge part of it. And that's just great to be a part of.
Well, Coach, number one, thanks for sharing, you know, the ways you guys practice and some of those ideas and the importance of doing that. And I can tell you're very passionate about your program, and it means a lot to you to coach this game. But you always like to finish with this question. I took it from the title of Bill Walsh's book, Finding the Winning Edge. What is that one thing? So, Coach, you got to point to one. I know you always said it's not easy how with the success, but you got to point to one. What is the one thing really that gives your team the winning edge that you and your coaches do?
Oh boy, that is real, real tough. Like you said, I just feel there's so many things. Yeah. The single most important thing. Yeah, camaraderie and commitment, I would say.
Yeah.
There's lots of other things, but yeah, those two things are really big.
Well, and you seem like you have that, like I said, with the coaching staff and, you know, as you described your team this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's fun that way, right?
Yeah, it really is. It's very rewarding, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. No doubt about it.
Well, Coach, for our listeners out there, if they want to learn more about some things you're doing, what's the best way to connect with you?
Email, probably. HoganD@cforks.org. That's HOGAN. D as in David. @C, Forks, FOKRS, .org.
Got it. Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking the time here, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the clinic.
You bet. Thank you very much. My pleasure being in.
Thank you for tuning in to the Coach and Coordinator Podcast. If you enjoyed the content on our show, please don't hesitate to like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review for our podcast on iTunes. Also, do not forget to check out our systems for skill development, blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. Follow us daily on Twitter for content and interaction at @FBDEVCoach, and be sure to check out X's and O's analysis on blogs.usafootball.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @CoachKGrabowski.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.